Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dude, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. How about you? It's been a good week.
I can't complain.
Dude, so I got some news, good news, and news.
Oh.
We're going to have to move the location for Off the Deep End.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're going to be Memphis bound?
I'm Memphis bound, dude. Soon. Coming soon. My house is about to go on the market, by the way.
Yeah.
In case you know you were...
Looking.
Over there in Columbus.
Well, congrats, man.
She got the job with FedEx. She starts on May 3rd.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. Doubled her income in one job move.
That's awesome. Congrats to Bree.
I'm like, what? Maybe I don't have to work as hard anymore.
It's, you know, we talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm sad, but at the same time, dude, I'm happy.
Well, I mean, dude, we've been looking for places in, like, South Haven, and we've even found some reasonable in Memphis. And we're just trying to, you know, to find a decent area to be in, you know, because Memphis is known for its rough neighborhoods.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was back in the 90s, really. When we're looking at it...
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I wouldn't say that. But it's only as rough as you make it, I think. I think if you're out looking for the rough, you'll see the rough.
Well, I mean, this is the thing to me is... you know, my grandmother, she's passed now, but, and granted, I did go to the murder of Capital of the World one weekend. I went to San Salvador, El Salvador, but.
Hell yeah, dude, I transported some guys from El Salvador back in the day. They were rough. Rough cats.
Yes, and like where we stayed, okay, so it was a mission trip. It was a weekend mission trip. The church I was attending at the time, I was a part of the band, and we had a daughter church in the capital there. And they wanted to know more about contemporary Christian music. And so the church decided, well, if you want contemporary Christian music,
yeah,
we'll fly our band down there, and they'll show you. And so we did. And I had a great time. And, like, the place that we stayed, it used to be a brothel, kind of turned into a hotel.
Yeah. So it's like one big room.
Well,
one big house and bedrooms.
No. Okay, so this is a bit of a different definition than maybe brothel isn't the best term, but it was set up like a hotel.
Okay.
But it used to be where you would go to get a prostitute, which would be brothel style.
Yeah.
And I remember my grandmother freaking out. I mean, every time, like, Honduras or
Guatemala
or Chile. Like, I haven't hit the Eastern Hemisphere yet.
So, say, did you ever make your way around Bangkok? You know, it's pretty rough.
Yeah. And what's crazy to me is, like, while she was freaking out about this, is on the daily, and I don't, because I didn't tell her, but she was probably aware, is... I was living in Mobile. I was going to the University of Mobile at the time, and we were doing ministry in Pritchard.
Yeah.
Which happens to be, well, Birmingham chases it pretty close, but murder capital of Alabama.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And we were in the Alabama village of Pritchard, which happens to be the capital of the capital. Like, I've literally, and we were doing children's ministry, and it evolved into helping adults get their GED and getting jobs, because we believe that education and knowledge was a key to getting out of these impoverished areas.
Yeah.
And to, if we can get these people through high school, if we can get these people their GED, and we can share the gospel with them, not only will they be educated enough to get a better job to lift them up out of poverty,
yeah,
but they would have the gospel to also help their moral character, and also just to be a light. And by the way, is if we all lived by the Ten Commandments,
yeah, wouldn't have anything to worry about.
Nobody would have a problem, right? You would have no issues. Concern anywhere. So, like, moving to Memphis, yeah. I love Memphis.
I love the city, dude.
If I could live in a big city like that, like, think Tennessee, like, would I live in Nashville? No, live in Memphis.
I don't want to live in Nashville.
I'd live in Memphis. I love Memphis. And that's exciting because that gives me another reason just to go up there.
And think about this is, you know, I may not drink anymore, but I got some plans on maybe talking to little Cumulus station there in Memphis. Yeah. 98.1, yeah.
Oh. Get a little Big John up there.
Get a little Big John up there in Memphis, maybe. I'm going to talk to Danny, the boss man up there when I get up there. You know, get in there.
Well, dude, I'm excited for you.
I'm going to try and get weekends up there. I am. I'm going to be like, dude, I know y'all don't do anything on the weekend. Think about having
some local. Think of, like, a show. You know, like, you know, Monk has his Indies Only, and I'm not saying replicate that.
No. But that's what I'm trying to do.
But, like, just think of, like, how you would bring it. Like, if you had a 3-hour show on a Saturday night in Memphis, what would you do?
Oh, it would be straight jamming, dude. It'd be a lot of Grateful Dead. Like, you know that band I wanted to go see?
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's talk about that.
Dude, I was so excited, and the wife shot that shit down.
Yeah.
She said she didn't think I could go to a brewery and stay sober.
I disagree.
I'm like, should I go around the bars and stay sober? I'm like, what's the difference? She's like, I just wish I could go. I'm like, well, you can go. She's like, no, I have to work Wednesday. I'm like, you've put in your 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah.
Does it really matter?
At this point.
Yeah, I'm like, who cares? Call in sick.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I can't. I'm like, all right, cool.
I got some news for you, too.
What's that, buddy?
It's something I should have done 2 years ago when this first started, ever since I met Ryan Munson. And, you know, he caught my heart, and he caught...
Well, he's a good guy.
He caught my vision.
Yeah.
And we're on the cusp of my vision being a reality.
Seriously.
And so I hit him up. I have all these friends that have started their own businesses in Columbus. Like, I'm not going to drop names. I don't know if they want their names dropped. But,
exactly.
But they quit their day jobs, or either lost their day job because of COVID.
Because of COVID.
And started their own business. And they are successful. And so what I want to do in Columbus, and we were brainstorming it last night, and it was like, okay, yeah, I'll be a part of that. Yeah, I'll definitely do that. So we wanted to do the event at Munson and Brothers. And so what I thought was, one of them is a food caterer. Like, he does Jam Up Barbecue.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, everybody, throw whatever dollar amount you can toward this that you want to. We'll use that to pay for the musicians that we bring in. and it'll be a celebration of Porch Talk moving to the next level. And we'll have food to feed everybody. It'll be great barbecue. And we'll just have a party. And the next phase of Porch Talk is, man, I'm moving toward creating my own record label.
Hell yes. Hell yes. That'd be so cool. And you could promote all these indie artists that have been sending you stuff for years.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, just on top of, like, everything that I have recorded, you know, from the show. And, I mean, that's what we're doing now is we're getting ready to put vinyl
record
together.
Out, yeah.
And we had listeners of the show vote on who they wanted on the vinyl.
Kind of upset there's no Brad Armstrong on there.
But this is the only one, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, by the way, it's not too late. Like, we're still casting votes. Like, some people, like, it's a real estate issue, really.
Yeah.
It's
I understand that.
I went in thinking, you know, I have 24 minutes on each side, 48 minutes.
Yeah.
And so.
Then you start cutting songs in 6, 4, 3, 6, eight.
That's it.
And you're like, oh, shit, this whole side's gone.
It fills up fast.
Yes, sir.
And so it's like, is one cut of this enough? Is there going to be a part two? You know, is there going to be... that idea is sexy to me.
I think there should be a part two.
I think there should be more. Because I was kind of disappointed that, like, it was all male artists.
Yeah, it kind of leaned a really heavy male artist. It was a... You know, what was that lady that played the Sunstroke?
Sarah Shook?
Yeah, Sarah Shook. She's awesome, man. Got some great stuff.
Yeah, but the thing about that is, like, she's been on my mic.
Yeah.
But she hasn't, like, played a song.
She hasn't played a song. Gotcha.
Yeah, there's rules.
Ah, yeah, that's right. I'm not a rules guy. I'm not that guy. Let's do this shit.
But that's the thing is, like, I've made exceptions towards that rule is, like, because I've done some phone lines. Like, one of the guys that's probably going to be on the record is from, he's from Mississippi, but he lives in Canada. He's in Vancouver right now.
Oh, nice. Well, he's fucking cold.
And so we did, no kidding.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did a phone line.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of his music.
Yeah.
And people voted him on the vinyl. And I was like, now listen, you're not supposed to vote that way, but... Oh, we're getting into technicalities now. Let me write him and see what he says. And he's down. So I put out a set list, and who knows if that set list will be that way. We're not getting in any kind of hurry. I'm pushing Porch Talk LLC.
Yeah.
We're going to do these events to kind of raise money for it because I don't know if you know. Did you know it's like it's not cheap to make a vinyl?
No, it's not.
At all?
No. I mean, not... No. Because you got to find places still willing to do it is one thing.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of places willing to do it. I've got three companies that I'm looking into right now.
You got to be willing to pay them to do it.
That's just it. And it's a pretty good little chunk. And
I wish there was like a startup record printer company that you could be like, look, man, let's do this thing together.
Well, I mean, that's why we're gonna throw a couple of events to raise money to make it because I want the album paid for.
Gotcha.
And granted, I don't care if it comes out of my own pocket.
Yeah.
But if it happens that way, just totally, I'm gonna lose my ass.
Yeah.
And you know, like even selling the records is like just in good faith, and like every musician that is. Been voted to be on that I've talked to is like they don't care anything about being paid for being on it.
Okay, well that's good.
But
they're just wanting the recognition.
Yeah, and just to be a part of something and it's exposure, right?
Yeah.
But my God, I would like to be able to pay like each record sale, be like you get a certain percentage
of each.
Yeah, because you had foot in the game, right?
Yeah, you're in.
You got skin in the game.
Yeah, you put your music on that. See, that's what I think. That's the way I think the music industry should go.
And it's unfairly, right? And that's another thing about like my heart and passion about like making a label is like I've had two people reach out to me, and they're both in Alabama, and it's small towns just like here in Kennedy.
Yeah.
And they're fairly good songwriters, and they have a following in that town. And they reached out and said, I would like you to record my album. And I told them, I was, have you listened to what I record?
Yeah.
It's kind of rough. It's nasty. It's
gritty.
It's real. Like it. It's real.
Yeah.
So you sure? Well, that's precisely why I asked you. I don't want it produced. I don't want it.
Oh, hey, they just want the sound. They want a sound. They want the instrument.
They want the way this show sounds. You know, they want it raw, uncut.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig the shit out of it.
And so I'm totally down. So that definitely
may have sparked a little fire.
I mean, it re-sparked the fire, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was almost like 2020 didn't even happen. Let's be honest.
That's the mulligan year, John.
It's the mulligan year. 2020 didn't even happen. Okay, so every plan that was made 2019, you can put into, you know, you can put into effect now. Couldn't say the word. It wouldn't roll off.
Right? Yeah. We're 15 minutes in, and we haven't even introduced the show.
That's our thing, man.
I kind of dig it.
I dig it, dude.
You ready?
Whenever you are.
Flash arrives, which simply says this. All of our loved ones, if Jesus were to come tonight, before you and I, you can hear the gospel and you don't feel anything, then you are in your most dangerous position.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. It is an off the deep end. I have none other than Big John. And as you already heard, the way that we do off the deep end is going to permanently change. So.
Well, let's not say permanently.
Oh. Okay.
It's just because, you know, the kid's still going to be down here for a while. So I'm going to have to still come back and hang out with her and do that. And there's going to be time for podcasting in there. You know, there's going to be, well, she's over here. Well, hey, Alan, what are you doing?
Uh-huh. And by the way, she can sit in anytime she likes.
Well, yeah, she's awesome. Like, she was quiet.
Yeah.
Dude, and she showed some of her friends the episode. So we got, we got tweens listening. What up, tweens?
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not, like I told her.
You know, it's you bring that up with, you know what our demographic is?
What's that?
It, like, Porch Talk listeners, like, a vast majority, it ranges from 25 to 70. 20. Like, we are not impacting the youth at all.
Oh, well. Thank you, so, Zoe. Yeah. She opened us up to a whole new realm.
So, yeah, maybe I need to recheck the algorithm, you know.
Maybe. If see. There's a Gen Z pop, dude, we got to, you know, we got to slap Zoe is on
that,
the wrist.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, she's a Gen Z.
So, let's break this down, because I get so lost in the mud sometimes. So, you have the millennial.
Yeah.
Which?
83 to, like, 93 or 95.
Okay, so I don't know if those numbers are right. Is Gen X come before millennial?
Gen X is before millennial.
Okay.
They're
okay. Yeah.
Pre-83.
Okay. Yeah, and that's like for us is like we all wish to be.
Yeah, I would like Gen to be X. A Gen Xer. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm a millennial.
Yeah, I'm a millennial.
And then there's Gen Z, right?
And then there's the Tide Podders.
The Tide Podders, that's right.
And so those guys, the ones that started with the Tide Pods, are turning 21 now.
They are.
It's fucking weird. You should see it, man. I go, you know, I go out still and drink water. I found out something I hate, though, going out, man. You know how some places, if you're drinking water, will give you a plastic cup or a styrofoam?
I do.
And then you've got some of those places that think they're fancy and give you, like, a styrofoam, I mean, not a styrofoam, but like a glass.
Oh, yeah?
Or like a double rocks glass to make it look like you're, I don't like that.
To make it look like you are?
To make it look like you're drinking or something. Yeah. They'll even put some fruit on there. And I went to...
Where the hell are you going?
I went to the Burning Piano.
Oh, they did that there?
Hell yeah, dude. They kept giving me glasses of water. And
I've only been there once.
Like putting a straw in there and like putting a little fruit on the side to make it look like... I was holding the cup and I walked out to the patio and it just felt so close to a drink. I just took the fruit off, sat it on the table, pulled the straw out, slammed the water.
Oh, that's our game.
Yeah.
That's the game. That's the play.
Yeah. And I'm like, no. Nope. Took the fruit out, took the straw out, went in there, slammed the water. They're like, you want a refill? And I'm like, sure.
You know, that's it's not my scene, but the Burning Piano is it's a very interesting venue in Columbus.
It's three different bars.
That is my point.
Three different bars in one.
Like, you walk in the door, you got the dueling pianos, and then you walk into the next room, and it's kind of just a room of glass.
And
it's
a sports bar.
Yeah. And then you walk outside.
And it's like a...
It's a little rowdy.
It's a rowdy live music bar. I almost thought they were going to put chicken wire up there for the band.
And that's why I believe it works.
Yeah, well, see...
But I can't, like, with that is like, okay, everybody kind of knows their place. And it's in a weird location, like right off the military exit. Which
cops
and like
posted.
The building, which they had the limo to get people rides home, which is, I think is
that's genius.
Dope.
Yeah, that's genius shit.
But yeah, it's a weird place, and like no one in that building has ever been successful. So like I have high hopes for
it. Dude, they've been busting it. They were busy as shit the other night. But anyway, I found out something that I don't like, drinking water in a glass. So I take the glass back in under the bar, sit it down.
Did you put your pinky out?
No. Okay. Well, always.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, always. I was standing there at the bar, and they're like, you want a refill? And they did the same shit again. I sit there, and I slam it. You know, I chug it, and I sit it back down in the bar. They're like, you want some more? I'm like, the more you fill it up, the more I'm going to stand here and drink it, because I don't want to take it with me. Mm. And they're like, is there something wrong? I'm like, no. It's just, I'd rather have a cup, that plastic cup like what you have. And they're like, well, we put those up after dinner service. I'm like, can you just get me one, please? And they eventually got me one.
Yeah.
Plastic cup, and I was happy. Didn't feel like I was trying to sneak around and drink some alcohol or something, you know?
All right.
But yeah, what were we talking about?
Oh, and guys, listen, today is 4/20. I think this will drop Saturday or Sunday.
It is.
That's right, and we have the, and we're not going to spend any time here, we're not going to discuss it, but no. I do want to bring it up that we had the verdict of the Chauvin, George Floyd trial.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see what the reaction is going to be in Minneapolis.
Me too.
Because,
is there going to be celebration? Or?
I think there will be, more peaceful protesting.
Think so.
And by peaceful, I mean they'll be looting. Hey, I'm checking eBay. I'm looking at the Nikes. Like, holler at your boy if you get, like, a pair. You want to sell a pair? I might buy a pair. You give me a good deal. Like, apparently, like, looting stores is totally legal there. So, we could...
Shit. Holler at your boy. Size 12.
Yeah. I mean, no kidding. But, and, you know, I guess Kamala Harris said it best is, you know, it's not a thing about color. I mean, it should be we're American, and I'll just leave it at that.
At the end of the day, right. That's the way it should be.
Right.
100%.
Right. And I wish we felt that way about businesses instead of burning them and looting them.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway. Now we're on crypto.
Crypto, man.
We're going to take the roller coaster ride. So, John, how long have you known about the crypto market?
Dude, I swear to God, I wish I would have bought in 2012 in Bitcoin.
You kind of found out quick.
When me and Bart were sitting there counting the money at the Princess.
I bet Bart has some, though.
I bet he does. But, no, we were sitting there, and he's like, what do you think about Bitcoin? And I'm like, dude... I don't know. It's kind of scary. It's not backed by anything. He's like, but it's backed by everything. He's like, it's going to be the future. We should buy in.
He's wrong and right. Okay, we're going to talk about all these things. I'm going to hopefully explain this in the most elementary way that I can. Because, like, you know, I've been posting lately about crypto.
Yeah.
And I get these wild DMs and people's... It's kind of the boomer generation.
Yeah.
It's like, can Bitcoin... Or this cryptocurrency you're so obsessed with, can it pay your power bill? Directly? No. But it can be converted. It can be converted to cash. And yes, it can totally pay. And but it could pay your house off if you invest it at the right time. But hear me out. So Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, that became a thing in 2008.
Yeah.
2007, some say 2009. We're going to cut right in the middle, 2008. And there were these web developers, people that understood algorithms, and they began to mine the internet, so to speak. And the binary thing that they were in, like I said, I need to get with a bit. I've met Bitcoin miners, but I'm trying to keep this elementary because, like, every time I try to explain cryptocurrency, NFTs, or any, it just flies over people's heads. So I'm trying to, like, make this really understandable.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that if you don't know what crypto is, that you're ignorant. I'm just, it's a brand new thing.
It's brand new.
Although it's been out since 2008.
Well, I'm telling you, dude, 2000, I didn't really hear anything about it until 2012.
That's when it boomed. That's actually when I found out about it for the first time. But, I mean, 2012, I was 22 years old.
Yeah, I was youngin'.
And, I mean, dude, how many 22, 24-year-olds, you know, just, yeah, I got money. Now, but the thing about it, like, Bitcoin wasn't worth anything then.
No, it didn't.
But yeah. We heard about Bitcoin because, like, it went from, like, being worth, you know, fractional penny to actually a dollar amount. And everybody kind of turned their head, right? And be like,
oh, what's going on over here?
That's working.
Yeah.
Okay. So these Bitcoin miners is who they are, and I've met two and I've talked to them. And I talked to them not really early in the game. Matter of fact, they had already gotten out of the game. They weren't doing it anymore because the game kind of changed.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin isn't backed by anything but that.
Yeah.
And there's articles coming out now, and I'm kind of anticipating this. I don't think it'll happen soon. I think, you know, they're saying by the end of 2021 that Bitcoin will be worth $100,000. And I totally believe that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because of inflation and everything going on with the economy. And it's like, how much is the U.S. dollar actually worth? It's tanking.
Yeah, it's down.
And so, I mean, maybe more than 100,000.
Maybe.
And so, like, a lot of people are really looking at it now, and they're looking at the dip, and they're saying by the end of April it'll be worth $80,000.
That's $20,000 increase.
Yes, because right now it's fluctuating between like the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
The highest it's been, I think, at this moment is, I think it shot to 65 one night.
I remember when it was $259.
That's what I'm saying. Did you know I actually bought some then?
God, what if you did? What if you did just held on?
That's my thing. Because, like,
that'd have been a long time.
You know, hindsight. Hindsight is like, man, I've
How much you let it increase when you sold?
It wasn't a whole lot at the time, you know.
You was kind of day trading it in a way.
No, not at all. I was too young and dumb.
Mm.
You know,
I bought some,
and like I would buy some. You know, like I was in college, and so I get my Pell Grant, and you didn't use all the Pell Grant, so.
Yeah.
I would use the leftover and be like, I'll just throw it at this Bitcoin or whatever it is, you know. Because I was in a bad car accident.
Mm-hmm.
when I was 11, and I got the settlement when I was 18. And I paid off my truck, which was the only debt I had to my name.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on at the Sandpiper Beacon in Panama City Beach, which is my favorite resort. I haven't been down there in some years, but I had stayed down there. This was the third time I would stay down there, but I was just obsessed with it. I ended up staying down there two more times, but I paid my truck off, and then I asked all my friends, because, man, high school was rough, right?
Yeah.
Imagine going through high school without teeth. And so all the people that didn't give me shit and were my friends, like, one day I got you.
Yeah.
And when that day came, I bought a room, a big-ass room, at this resort.
Yeah.
And a tiki bar on the beach. It's the Sandpiper Beacon. It's dope. And we drove down there and stayed for, I think I booked 4 or 5 days.
Shit.
But it was like, just say, like, I mean, I was 19 when I done that. You would have been 21.
Oh, man.
And just imagine what that would have meant. It'd be like, you're telling me that all I have to do is go? Because it was all expenses paid. Everything was on me. Right? Think about the time that we had.
And I would have been 21.
Yeah, so you could have.
It would have increased the fun.
And so, like, you know, and with the rest of that money, I mean, that's besides the point. That's just fun here.
Yeah.
Is, with the rest of that money, I invested in the stock market. I played it safe, and I got, I went with Woodman of the World. If I could go back and play it differently, I would. And I didn't get, like, into stock necessarily, but I got into stock bonds.
Yeah.
Because, like, some wisdom in myself wanted to put $60,000 back and just, you know, invest.
Yeah.
And just let it get interest. And so my eyes had been open to investing at a very young age, almost to the point to where when I was perfectly legal to actually do it.
Yeah.
And so when this idea of crypto and all that came around, my mind was totally for it. But when I would invest in it, I'm a college kid. I'm broke.
Yeah.
If I need it back, I'm going to take it back. And so I've done that multiple times over the years.
Yeah.
And so, like, we have all these new types of cryptos.
Yeah.
And, like, I want to break all that down. So I just want to ask you, open this up, is tell me what you know about crypto marketing.
I just know it's mined, and there was a scare when they lost the PIN number to the main, like, Bitcoin account when the person died that held all the, like, mined Bitcoin, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. With Bitcoin specifically, is and it's grown. Like,
yeah.
Crypto, and we'll get into NFT and just how much, like, internet currency has changed. And that is the way that we're moving. And,
well, I use Cash App more than I use cash now.
I mean, I do too.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the way to go.
I don't either.
The thing about cash, and we'll talk about this more in detail to come, is if I buy something from you with cash, it's off the books.
Yeah, nobody knows.
It's between you and I. They can track the dollar to a certain extent, but my God, how many hands is that dollar going through?
Well, they adjusted my taxes this year, and I was going to get back a couple hundred dollars. Turns out I'm only getting back $72.
Because
they adjusted my income.
I gotta take a piss.
Be right back.
Best thing to do, in my opinion, is hide that shit. Put it in jars. Get your money out of the bank. This is my opinion. Put it in jars like they used to do back in the day. I'm telling you. It worked back in the day. It was hard money in the backyard. Cash money. Think about it. Yeah, dude, they adjusted my taxes to the income that was on my, like, Social Security number. All the money that was linked to it.
Yeah.
So everything that went through my bank account, through Cash App, when I was getting the tips from the bar still, all that money got accounted for.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, every money that, every cash, like, push positive that went into my possession that they knew about, they taxed me on.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you this, is that's the thing. And, like, I come from a Judeo-Christian background.
Yeah.
And I believe in the Bible. And, you know, Christ himself said to render to Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yeah, tax collectors, basically.
Right. And I believe the way that we're headed is, it's not progression, it's regression. And but like you and I both agree, so I mean, there's no arguing point here.
No, I that, mean, if you try and forget your past, you're doomed to repeat it.
I'm for decentralization of government.
Yeah.
And I don't like taxes, and I don't like my rights being infringed on. And it's kind of like, sort of, to me, and like, granted, we're in Alabama, Mississippi, and so it really, it'll hit us last.
Yeah, we won't feel it first. Yeah, definitely.
But it's definitely feeling like a totalitarian state.
Right now.
And I don't want to get off on this because it gets so political and it gets people red hot, and I don't care.
I don't like that shit, man.
It shouldn't be, but like, if, let's just say, Facebook.
I hate that shit.
If I have done my own research, now granted, like, and everybody wants to come at you now and say, like, you're not a epidemiologist. You have no right to say, okay, but like, I've seen all the articles being put out, and I have a brain, and I read them.
And you have a degree in sociology, right? Or part of it.
Basically.
Yeah. So, you have a right to say.
Sociology.
Yeah.
Study of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've got 3 degrees, but yeah, that is one of them.
One of them.
And like a lot of my conversations lately, we're going off the deep end here, is, you know, I've been having these conversations, even when I was interim youth minister, is when I led the youth group, I had seniors in the class, and you know, like, you remember being that age?
Yeah.
Did you know what you were going to do with your life?
Hell no.
And so, what were you going to do? You were going to probably do what the majority did. You know, maybe you had plans to maybe try to go to college. Maybe not University of Alabama or Mississippi State or...
Yeah.
But something. EMCC or just Shelton State or Bevel State, something.
Something, yeah.
And, like, that's not the way. And I'm not being anti-intellectual.
Yeah.
Is, man, it just, the higher education right now to me, and like, I'm pro-education, I'm pro-intellectualism.
Yeah.
But I sound very anti right now, is I have learned more about what I'm passionate about by actually doing it.
Yeah.
And actually shadowing people that do it better.
Yeah.
Than I have ever learned in a formal education classroom.
Oh, for sure. 100%. You learn better by doing than anything.
And I mean, you asked me, it's like, what have you got to show for? You don't have a piece of paper. You don't have a degree. You don't have a degree in journalism.
No.
You don't have a degree in making music.
No.
Well, most of my favorite musicians didn't even finish high school.
Yeah.
Or they finished with the absolute lowest
GPA. Yeah, they did what GPA. They had to do, yeah.
Like, yeah, college wasn't really even in the books in the first place.
Yeah, they're just like, I'm gonna see if I can make this music thing work.
So, that's my thing, is if I was 18 right now, and college tuition continues to go up, all you're doing is putting yourself in debt for... Maybe it's something you're passionate about that there may not even be a job in. And so now you're sitting in, God only knows, maybe 10 to 80,000, maybe more of debt. Let's just say you're a 7-year senior. And I know a lot of people that way.
Yeah.
And why? I mean, you could not be paying for something that obviously you can't make your own mind up. So you shouldn't have been there in the first place. So maybe college isn't the best thing immediately after high school. And a lot of people say, I want to go ahead and get it out of the way because I know I won't go back in a few years. Well, why don't you get out in the real world and see what it's about? And then you can make a really good educated decision about, well, I really hate this job, so I definitely don't want to do this shit.
Yeah.
And so I've got friends. Let me see what they're doing. And if I think I'm into it, maybe I'll project my future in that direction, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I could go back, I'd like to go back to the fucking 9th grade, dude.
That would be, you know, my... I, I've been so jaded out of the gate that it's, I think, like, I'm working on being unjaded. It's like 11th grade, man. Like, I stepped into 6th grade, like, missing my front four.
Yeah.
On the top, front four on the bottom. And so, man, I was a laughing stock. And so, like, immediately out of the gate is like, screw everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to make fun of me for things that were totally out of my control.
I can't even help it, man.
Like, do you think I had any control of being an 11-year-old going to ball practice, riding in the back of my grandpa's truck, and then there was someone coming out of that dirt road curve on the wrong side of the road and hit his head on? I can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
And you want to make fun of me for that.
Yeah.
Now, granted, comedy is, like, and I don't care now. Like, it's not, it's like, oh, I got the chip of the world on my shoulder. And no, it's not like that. Like,
lost my teeth.
Yeah. But I get that. And so, like, I came out of the gate with a nephew.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, I never tried, like, that killed everything for me because I finished 9th in my class. And most of the work done wasn't even done by me. Granted, I probably would have finished higher if I'd done it.
Yeah, that's how I think now. If I'd have just done my work in high school, I probably would have done better. Probably would have been more capable for things to come later, too, you know?
I don't know. I don't believe in happenstance or circumstance, so I believe everything happens for a reason, so I'm thankful for all those things that
happened.
Oh,
hell yeah, man.
And so, I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, but back to crypto?
Yeah, back to crypto.
Is so, like, I've been in and out of Bitcoin for years, and like,
it's too astronomical to even get into now. You can buy a piece,
bullcrap, bullcrap. I quit, I shut my saving account down at my bank. I was putting $50 a week in there. I put $50 a week at Bitcoin.
You know, oh, yeah,
you know how much I own right now?
What?
0.2.
Nice. That's I mean, that's serious, though.
And also, like, I have money put back, so when it dips, is I might drop 100 or 200.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the dip to get my average down. Because, like, everything is based on average cost. That's how you weigh your gain.
Yeah.
And so, in Ethereum, let's go there. Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of everything. We're on Bitcoin. When everything became a reality for me with cryptocurrency was it was New Year's Eve. This is 2016. We were about to step into 2017. I was living in Mobile, and times were it wasn't going good, and I needed to step away from Mobile. And I wanted to spend New Year's Eve in Foley. And I called my buddy, the guy I went to high school with.
Yeah.
Best friend, Sid Moore. And I went to Foley. Stayed with him at his house. We went to the Piggly Wiggly, which had an awesome beer selection. We got us a six-pack of, like, just mixed craft beer. And there were a couple Andy Gators involved. And we were sitting on his back porch playing music.
Those things are dangerous.
Andy Gator will mess you up.
Yeah.
It's like a snake handler.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with those kind of things.
Yeah.
But we were sitting there passing the guitar back and forth. And this is something that I'll say is, and a lot of people have gotten on to me about this, but I could get on to them as well, is like, why don't we ever have these conversations about finance as a friend?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about it? Because you never bring it up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just randomly, while we're hanging out, and be like, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how things work.
So, Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I've had it brought up to me that way in the beginning. So, what do you think about Bitcoin? I'm like, I don't know, man.
Well, it's total BS, man. It's never going to work.
Never going to work, yeah. I'm like, they'll shut that shit down. I'm like, the Federal Reserve will never have it.
So, we're passing the guitar back New Year's Eve. 2016, we're stepping into 2017. We're drinking Andy Gator. And I bring it up. said, man, you know anything about cryptocurrency? I do. I've been following it for some time. I'm invested. Pass guitar, play a song or two. You're invested. Like, do you believe in this? This is kind of a new thing. Well, it's been around for 9 years and it's gradually growing value.
Yeah.
And then people be like, what is the value? It's just binary. It's ones and zeros on the internet that has been mined for.
Yeah.
And it's a coin, but it's not even anything that you can actually hold in your hand.
Yeah, it's not a coin.
But then people, like, when you say that, you don't understand the internet.
Yeah.
Like, we're moving, like, and soon there's going to be two internets. There's already two. I mean, there's already two. The black.
Yeah, mark, the dark one.
The dark web. But anyway, we're drinking those indicators. We get a little bored. He's like, man, you're talking so much about cryptocurrency. I actually used to work with a guy who used to be a crypto miner. He used to mine for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
BS. We go down to the tiki bar in Foley. The guy's working.
Yeah.
We sit there and drink at the bar. Matter of fact, I remember Florida State. Who were they playing? Florida, it was a big game. It was a bowl game. It was New Year's Eve. Florida State was playing somebody. It was 2016, 17, New Year's Eve. I don't remember who they were playing. I just remember watching Florida State. And I remember, this was before.
You're talking about the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. And this was before Jimbo Fisher went to Texas A&M. And, like, we were watching that game. And I was like, I remember. It wasn't Sid, but whoever I was sitting by, I was telling him that I thought that Jimbo was a great coach, that he's just a little shady with everything that he let happen with, I can't even think of his name now. He was a quarterback at that time. They won a national championship with him. He had the stealing crab thing or
whatever it was.
It's not important, but that was what was on TV, just to put you in that frame of mind. And the guy got off work. Sid introduced me to the guy, and we got to talking, and he got to telling me all these things. And, like, all these things are just, it just seemed too, it was just too wonderful to tell. It's just immediately like, you're full of shit.
Yeah, bullshit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I feel you.
And I remember, like, talking to that guy for, like, an hour about everything. How it worked. Like, what is all this? And, like, who are the people that are investing? And he was, like, at this time, it was real estate people and lawyers. Yeah. We were in Foley, Alabama. And those were the people that guy was mining for, was people who were already had money. Yeah. And so that tells me something. It was like, if they're throwing into it.
Yeah, it's something to throw into.
There's something about it.
Yeah.
So I left that night calling BS, thinking about it more. And off and on, like, I've always thrown in the crypto, and let's fast forward it up to 2020. We had the pandemic.
Yeah, pandemic.
The mulligan year, right?
Mulligan year.
And, man, just like during the end of 2020, it was around November or December, something that happened in 2017 became extremely relevant. I remember at the beginning of 2020, you can go back and look at Bitcoin's numbers. I actually told, like, an intern that was working for us at my job that I was thinking about taking out a loan.
Yeah.
Just to buy Bitcoin because it was at 13 grand. I already had some, but I was like, I want to take out a $30,000 loan. Just tell the bank I'm buying a house.
Yeah.
And throw it all in Bitcoin. And then that's incredibly foolish, but hindsight, it wouldn't have been.
No.
Because I could have totally paid that off.
You could have paid that off, but, and then some.
Yeah. But, and we were laughing about that the other day, but Doge coin. Everybody wants dog coin, Doge coin. It's Doge. It was invented in 2017 to make fun of cryptocurrency.
Hell yeah.
And at the year of 2020, it went from being worth fractions of a penny
Yeah.
It's actually being worth one.
It's worth like 24 cents now, isn't it?
That's the thing about it. We are on Doe's Day, 420, my boy. And let me look. It's dipped all day. Like at midnight last night, it was worth 42 cents. And all day today, it has been just consistently dropping. I'm curious. It's at 30 cents right now.
30 cents?
That's right. At 8:40 on 420 Central Time, PM, it was worth 30 cents.
Yep.
So.
No shit.
But.
Well, think about it, though. If it takes off, dude.
That's the thing about these alternate coins. Especially Doge, because Elon Musk and like a lot of people that are into crypto that people follow, a lot of big wigs, so to speak, is they have, every time that Elon Musk tweets about Doge, it rises in price. But in the inverse, Bitcoin drops. And so Tesla is already buying Bitcoin. So it's almost Elon talk about Doge, so it'll go up and Bitcoin will go down so we can buy dip.
More.
We can buy a dip.
Man, and have you heard about the Pi coin or whatever?
Yeah, but, I mean, tell us, you know, tell everybody what's going on.
I'm afraid of it too, man. I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't like the digital money. I'm a bury it in your backyard kind of guy.
I don't know if we'll ever leave there.
See, I don't like money. I'm not a money fan. I just want enough to survive.
That's all I care about. You know, like, my thing is if everything crap hits the fan,
yeah,
is literally van down by the river, and I'm totally satisfied. You know,
see, that's
I mean?
Kind of me, man. I was always, like, until I got remarried, I was kind of like a, you know, vagabond, wild beast. Didn't really have an address.
I can relate.
And I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I love the freedom, man.
Didn't have a bank. Dude, the radio station. Dude, we got to talk about this, man. So the radio station is the reason I got a damn bank account.
Really?
Because it was either that or they give me one of their cards. And I'm like, well, I don't want y'all giving me one of y'all's debit cards and all this. So I made it all the way up to 2016 without a... Or when did I have to get one? I think it was 2013 they made me get a bank account. And from 2008, I made it without a bank account. Just living off cash.
That's dope.
And that, man, I wish, because that's, it's getting more and more scarce. You know, somebody that's just got money, hard money.
I agree.
Like, because
well, I mean, you think about, like, the Federal Reserve right now, and especially, like, I don't know if you realize it's 420. But
woo!
Last night is, did you see what Joey B did? Was... I mean, executive order, like, it's got to go through Congress and Senate, but everybody knows it's going to pass. But it's a $2 trillion fund toward infrastructure. But, like, when you read it, it's actually about climate change. And so, like, it's about adding all these electric charge stations all across America and, like, moving toward more energy efficientness.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if we're going to be mindful about energy... You know what we should do? You know a country that ain't doing a damn thing about it? China.
Yeah.
They said they wasn't going to start till 2040.
Yeah.
If we want to be so energy mindful, I think instead of, well, I think, you know, maybe it is a good thing to, like, spend $2 trillion you don't have and be the leader of the world and that. But I would, like, press China to be like, look, if we're willing to go in, you should too.
Yeah, we need to all go in. We've all the major powers.
If it's real, yeah. You know, if this is an actual concern, right?
Yeah.
So, man, like, I don't know. Like, inflation's going to happen. But, like, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, when I turn 15 or 16, I don't remember. You know, my parents divorced when I was 10 or 11. But, like, both of them were very present in my life. I have great-grandparents. And when I was old enough to have a bank account, they took me to the bank and we set that up. And, like, I had good parents and grandparents, man. Like, they taught me how to be in the society, right? You know, life skills, you know, like how to balance a checkbook.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And
I had one of those accounts.
Yeah. You know, all that stuff. And so, but like with today's world, like we're moving at such an accelerated rate right now. It's just like, it's really hard for me to keep up, right?
Yeah.
Like,
me too, dude.
Take this for instance. This is off the deep end. What do you know about the blockchain?
That is you to be, buddy.
Okay. All right. This is a big idea that, like, I can't unpack completely because I'm still learning. But I want to bring this idea to you. Is if you were to, I'm not giving financial advice. By the way, like, do your own research. Like, don't take my word for anything.
Yeah.
Like, I've been making all these, like, Dogecoin memes and, like, sharing them on my social media and, like, people commenting and DMing me and calling me and texting me. Like, what should I invest in?
Everything.
Invest in yourself and do your own research and, like...
Hershey's chocolate.
After you've done your research, then let's talk.
Coca-Cola.
Because I don't want to give you straight... Yeah, you're giving the awful advice over there.
I know.
But
Nike.
Okay, let's talk about blockchain. This is going to be twofold. Ethereum, which is my favorite cryptocurrency.
Okay.
Because it's backed by a contract. We can talk about that a little bit. But more importantly, is it's on a blockchain. A blockchain is the internet.
Yeah.
Blockchain is something that cannot be deleted. And this is something like, I delete my own posts. Like, I'll post something, I'll take it down. Post something, take it down. I don't mind it being on the blockchain, but like some of the things I post, like, I only want it being present for just like a amount of time.
I got you.
For a sense of relevancy. Not of a sense of like I'm embarrassed of it, but it's like, I'm giving a shout out to this, and I'll give you
and
six.
It's over.
And I'll give you 6 hours to see it, and I'm taking it down. Right?
Okay.
Like, it's like talking about a show. Once the show has happened,
it's done.
Kind of thing.
I got you. Well,
but the thing about the blockchain, and this is the way I want to describe it, and I encourage you to look it up. And like, if you find something different and you don't agree with the way that I'm defining it, let's have a discussion. So the blockchain. I want to start with social media. Is we're going to decentralize the web. There'll be, and we know there's, let's just say there's one web. Let's not talk about the dark web.
Dark web's different. It's secret.
Yeah. Okay, the internet.
Yeah, the internet.
You pull it up on your phone, computer, whatever. You see, that is centralized.
Yeah.
Everything has cookies. Everything is collecting data.
Yeah.
Even like when you post something on social media, you know, you can
pinpoint where you are if somebody knows, you know, what they're doing.
That's right. And so it's a very centralized idea. The blockchain is a decentralization of the internet, but a lot of people believe that because of the decentralization that it'll be total freedom. And a big thing right now, I don't know if you're paying attention to this, but this is something maybe worth researching and throwing money at this stock. But there are companies that are coming out right now that will protect your... It's not VPN. You listen to a podcast, you hear about these VPNs.
Yeah, VPN doesn't matter.
Yeah. It is if you need to confuse an IP address.
Yeah.
But like these companies, like you'll run your social media through them, you'll run your search through them, and they store your data.
Ooh.
And then what is sourced out is not searchable for like Facebook or these marketing teams to see because it's owned by
that conglomerate or whatever.
That's right. But what are they going to do with it eventually?
Oh, they're going to sell it, dude. You know it.
Will they? Or is that their claim? So, like, I'm talking about a blockchain. That's one example of thinking about this is, like, with social media, like, I love the idea of a decentralization. And just take social media. Instagram, Facebook, if you think about this, if you have your two accounts linked up, is if I were to share something on Facebook or on Instagram, is I could click. Share it on Facebook too. And so that's an idea of decentralization so that my thoughts are fluid throughout my media. And so what I'm thinking is we all on the internet as like you're a U.S. citizen or you're a citizen of Earth or however you want to put it, is you're also a citizen on the internet and you're completely responsible for. Let's just say.
Well, that's the way it is anyway, isn't it?
In a sense, but not really, because you can be banned for your idea. Well, the decentralization is like you could not be silenced because it's yours. You own it.
Yeah.
It's out there.
You're a person and not a.
It's like you body. Would have your own personal website.
Yeah.
And like whatever I.
Your whatever feed.
And let's just say like on my website was my social media and I would write. A post or a video or a photo, and it would go to all my social medias. In a sense, because like if people followed me, they would be on that website.
I guess you could save more aspect of your life, you know?
Yeah.
You could have this post about it, then these pictures from it, then this tweet about it.
Yes.
Are here tweeting about it and post on Facebook tag bullshit. Yeah,
but let's stop right there. Is I mean, does that make sense? Is like,
yeah, no, it makes sense to me. Yeah,
because I'm still learning about it myself and like what I believe about what the future of the internet is, and that's the way that we want to
think about your metadata as power.
That's where I'm going. Is like your identity will be sourced out to. Your website, and then it will be shared amongst media.
Because there's no security on the internet. People can claim that there is, man. But there's even backdoors in Apple.
What do you think about Section 230?
I'm not familiar with the name, but I'm sure I'm familiar with the, you know, the...
It deals with defamation.
Oh, yeah.
It specifically deals with what we're going through right now with... Big tech tyrants acting as if they're a totalitarian
government. State, yeah.
Is if you say something that is not acceptable by them, that they will
silence it.
Silence you and also delete your account.
Give you a 30-day ban.
Section 230 allows that to happen.
Yeah.
So, Section 230, like, let's just say this, is... the New York Times, let's just say this.
Okay.
They put out an article that said Big John did a donut in his neighbor's driveway, in his neighbor's yard.
Okay. Big time.
You didn't.
Well,
they said
yeah,
you
I did.
They said you did.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe
the media I did.
And maybe someone did do a donut in your neighbor's yard.
And my car was there around the time.
Yeah.
Or my car was
And you got pinned for it.
Yeah.
And everybody began to believe it. That's defamation because, like, people might attack you or...
Why did you do it to burn out in your neighbor's yard? Well, because it was fun. I mean, I would just take it. I mean, I would be the guy... I'm Yeah, but...
But I'm talking about, like... And that's a very ludicrous thing. But, like, real example is, like, what if it was your business... And, like, let's just, Strange Brew, like, Have you heard about all that?
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, like, that is, in my opinion, that's pretty racist. But, yeah. Like, well, at the same time...
It's their business.
Exactly.
Business owner has a right to treat their business however they want to.
All these news places write about it and spin it that way.
See,
and,
that's a public...
And I'm not disagreeing with the way it was spun because it definitely looks that way.
And see, that's like public opinion, like public news swaying opinion about a private business. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like what they did.
That's Section 230. Yeah. And let's just go back to my ludicrous example. It's like Big John did a donut in his neighbor's car. What if you got sued by your neighbor?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's all that proof against me in the eyes
what
of the law.
What proof?
The news article, it's already got the opinion of my other neighbor saying, oh, yeah, I've seen him do it. They always.
But you didn't do it.
But yeah, I mean, if that's how it works, though, dude. That's how those kind of cases work.
And so we're almost approaching things with the way this thing happens with defamation claims. This is what I do not like, is we're guilty till proven innocent.
Exactly.
Instead of innocent until proven guilty.
The way it's written.
And so Section 230 is a crock of shit. And so... With that article, let's just back it down. Let's just say that, to me personally, and we'll use a Tim Pool example, is you reported that Alan Aldridge performed a backflip.
Hell yeah.
Okay. And then let's just say that more of my friends confirmed it. Now, we're being really rudimentary here.
Yeah.
And like three people confirmed, Alan did a backflip. And then, like, this big news channel, like, once again, rudimentary, who gives a damn if I did a backflip or not? But they all reported that I did a backflip. And I can't do a backflip.
Yeah, you can.
That's a lie.
No.
It's a lie.
You said you could.
I didn't say, no, I didn't. Like, my friend said I did.
Yeah, your friend said
I didn't do it. I can't do it. Maybe I could learn on a trampoline.
Let's see it. No, I just want to see you do a back.
You want to see me break my neck?
Yeah.
So, like, with...
Stand up on TV.
And I hope it gets destroyed with what James O'Keefe of Project Veritas is doing.
I have been reading up on Project Veritas.
He's working on New York Times. He's working on CNN. He's also suing Twitter.
And a little accountability.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Because everything that they're accusing him of is false.
Yeah.
It's false. But the way that these news people work is let's say Washington Post put something out, and they have reliable sources. They don't even tell you who they are. It was a friend of this guy.
See, I always thought the Washington Post was satirical anyway. I didn't think it was real.
Well, I don't know about satirical, but it is a joke. But yeah. Then, like, other mainstream articles, and they'll begin referencing each other. It's like looking up something on Wikipedia, which is why you should never be on Wikipedia. It's a shithole.
Use it for general knowledge, not real
knowledge. I wouldn't use it for nothing. Don't use it. It's garbage. But
well, it's user edited.
Depending on the way you view, if you want to be honest. Yeah. But like 230, Section 230. Let's wrap this up. Is if we have our own website, our own IP, or not IP address, but we have our own domain.
Yeah, our own domain. Blah, 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 and then internet, whatever
the future looks like with social media is like, if I put a thought out on my website and it went to all of my social media, that is the idea of a blockchain.
Yeah.
And that original idea cannot be deleted because it is permanently on the blockchain.
On the block. Yeah.
And so that leads me to the revolution of cryptocurrency. Bitcoin started in 2008. I do not know for certain when Ethereum came out, but it's my favorite currency.
Yeah.
Because it's backed by a contract, because it's on the blockchain.
Yeah.
But here's the bust on that. Is like, because it's backed with a contract, is, let's just say that you and I came to agreement and I was going to give you an Ethereum for moving to Memphis. That will be logged on the blockchain. That I paid you.
Yeah.
An Ethereum to move, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
You can't see it, but I'm holding my hand.
We're trying to decentralize things.
Yeah.
While centralizing it. It's totally traceable. And let's just say that you became somebody that the government did not like. And so the government could ban your presence, your web address to your crypto wallet, your virtual wallet on the internet, to make it to whatever is in your wallet is of no value and it cannot be traded. And anyone that trades with that person, they will be nullified as well.
Dude, we have gotten lost.
I already know where I'd like to go when I have to die. I'd like to fall asleep in a dream of your mind. Drift down your canyon. They're so vast and wild. Neural synapse snapping your back. Flesh, blood, and wine. I feel like I have been around here before. Deja vu, waking up on the bathroom floor. I've seen hell, I've seen God, and I'm just fine. With leaving the both of them behind. Fall asleep in your mind for the rest of eternity. Fall asleep in your mind. I'd like to stay there permanently.
We have gotten lost in social media's importance. That's my fear. You know, I'm afraid.
Well, I mean, we're already talking about a social credit score.
Yeah.
Depending on what you search for on the internet.
God, I'd be so much porn.
Really? I don't have that. I don't watch it. I don't entertain it. Yeah, I don't.
Disc golf and porn. Woo!
You know what my main searches are?
What's that?
It's weird. I'm a hard guy to track, really. I look up books. Like, I've been, like, trying to build my library up. with books that I want. And like lately, it's like album searches. Like
my I do a lot of music searches.
My coworker would be like, there was this album that had a fly landing on a pill. Whose album was it? It's like 90s grunge. And like, you know, went through a series of searching and
found it.
I never found it. But in my mind, I see that album. And
it's typo negative.
Maybe.
I think it is.
Maybe. Because like at first we thought Bush. And I was like, no, Bush never done that. And then I was like, it could have been Stone Temple Pilots. No, Stone Temple Pilots didn't do that. That wasn't Stone. And then, yeah, maybe typo negative.
It may be typo negative, dude.
But those are my Google searches. It's like just random. Like, good luck getting to know me, Google.
I try and do incognito mode, but how much can you trust that? I mean,
I don't trust it at all.
I don't either. I don't trust the internet, man.
That's what I'm saying. It's like we're moving with cryptocurrency, with the idea of a blockchain, which it's a cool direction, but I don't think it is the direction. The thing that is sexy to me about Ethereum, and it's my favorite crypto, it's, I'm not giving financial advice, but it's what I put most of my money toward, is it's backed by a contract. You know, Bitcoin, the thing about it, it's insane. And I'm not saying it'll happen tomorrow, but it could happen a week, year, a month, 2 years, 3 years from now. Quantum computing could hack Bitcoin and could just take Bitcoin. And you would think you had one, but you don't.
Yeah, you ain't got shit.
And that's the thing. That's another thing that we had to think about as technology advances, as we're moving to a new internet. We're definitely off the deep end here.
So far, dude.
And we're not even in space. We're just in the internet.
Getting into
And what's crazy to me is, like, you know when you lay down at night and you ever, as a kid, maybe even now, is you lay down in bed at night and you get to thinking about, like, just the Milky Way or the universe or the galaxy or whatever.
I sleep with it on my behind
my head. You know, like your eyes are closed, you're dozing off, and then you just let your mind go to space. And then you're out there with the stars, you're passing planets, it's almost like you're on some kind of a psychedelic trip. And then you know that the intense rush of a dream, it is like maybe you are falling out of bed, but like maybe it's that dream, like you have a baseball bat like just about to hit you and you like jump.
Yeah.
Like there is this sense of you're so small. And when you get to thinking about the universe, it's just kind of
yeah, it's overwhelming.
And like your mind can't fathom it. That's the internet.
Yeah. I mean, it's vast and growing. It's more vast than we know.
Yeah.
I mean, not even getting to the dot LEs and dot LC and all the dark web stuff. Not even getting into that. Like, that's a whole different realm. That's when I first started finding out about Bitcoin, when the dark web first started getting big.
Is that right?
Because, you know, it was the only way to buy things on the dark web was with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder why. At that time, it was completely untraceable.
Yeah.
And still was, and still is for the most part.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's people that have hundreds of millions of dollars in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Just sitting on it, just waiting.
I know two people that after Bitcoin shot up, they quit their job and they just sit home now.
Yeah. I mean, the stock market, dude, that did this digital money, anything that's easily gotten is easily taken away.
And I think that's a lot of concern for people. I don't know, like, I can't imagine being alive right now and not having some kind of investment in cryptocurrency. And in my opinion, it's foolish.
Dude, I'm old school, dude. I hope to die before it's important.
I'm not saying that's going to be the way, but like I told you, is like I don't have a savings account anymore. Like I use my crypto wallet to build interest, which pays, last I checked, 16%. 16 times more
than
interest than my bank.
Yeah.
In crypto, which shoots through the roof every time.
I don't save, dude.
There you go. There's another thing.
I don't save.
You live by the day.
I live it. I'm living life, man.
I'm for it. I'm here for it.
Dude, I like it. I like it. I like the freedom. I don't have any fear of the stock market crashing. What I got is what I got. I don't even like my money being in the bank, man. I'm getting, as more and more things go digital, then more and more I feel myself pulling back from it.
Yeah.
Really. Honest to God. The more I feel like I'm trying to get away from all that.
I can't wait to check on with you when you move to a more urban area.
I'll have to get back in it, man. And...
because right here, I don't have to be.
Yeah, no. I'm not nervous to go live in a city, like a real city. Because I've been to cities, I've been to most cities. And, it's nothing, it's just another place. But my mentality is so disconnected from the modern way.
That's the thing about it, is, man, we still got 3G in some areas here.
Fuck yeah, dude. I was driving here from Columbus and lost service for 15 minutes.
That's right. That's right. So, it's an acclimation thing. That's the thing I like about doing this show. It's the thing I like about traveling when I go to these big cities. It's the acclimation.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I lived in Mobile for 5-6 years. And I'm not saying that Mobile's not a particularly big city by any stretch.
No.
It's big for here.
Columbus. Bigger than fucking Columbus for sure.
Yeah. And the way you live in a city is different than the way you live here.
Yeah.
I definitely believe in that. But with everything that, and that's kind of the point of us talking, it was I knew that we could get off the deep end, was, I don't know how you'll survive in the future world without some crypto.
See, I wish I'd have kept that stuff, those few little ones that I had when I was being stupid.
Like I said, like
those three $250 ones that I had.
I have no regret, because that was one thing that I've had so many conversations lately, and I thank God that I post those dumbass memes on my social media so that people can interact with them. And my friends, actually, I had three of my friends that I came up with in high school today, ask me about Doge and how to invest in Doge. And I was like, don't,
first off,
it's too late.
Yeah. You've missed the curve.
You missed everything. But let me tell you some great apps to download. And if you want to take the conversation further, I'll tell you what I'm watching. But in the meantime, do your own research.
Yeah.
It's tough. And it's if you work an 8, 10, 12-hour job a day, and then you get home, you got a family, when are you going to do it?
3 a.m.
When are you going to do it?
Never going to do it. So that's me, dude.
That's when we get down here, I'm going to... I've got an episode I got to put out Thursday, and then I aim to put this one out Saturday or Sunday.
Hell yeah.
And so I have time put up on that, because I have to make them right.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to put the songs
And then on top of that, I have other projects I'm working on.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be up till 3 this morning.
And then you got to be up again at 5, don't you?
I get up at 6, yeah.
Jesus. No, dude.
Research. I'm constantly moving. I want to be in the know. It's you cannot sleep, because everything is moving. That's what I'm telling you. Everything is moving so fast right now. And not just me, just so many people I know and so many people out there they're making a lot of money by watching these alternate cryptocurrencies investing when they're worth a fractional of a cent, and when they hit a penny worth,
yeah, they're in there.
You get out and be like, really, man, you throw 20 bucks at something that was worth, let's just say, 25% of a penny, and it becomes worth
3 cents.
3 cents. Dude, that's a big gain.
That's a gain.
And you didn't have a lot in.
No.
And that's what I'm telling people is like, don't sleep on this. It's everything's digital. Like all that crap that the Federal Reserve is printing out, you think we're actually doing those dollars? Probably. Look at lumber, man.
Lumber's so damn high right now, dude. I feel sorry for my buddy that built his house. When he started, lumber was so cheap. And before he was done, they started using substitutes for lumber.
I'm telling you, man. I don't know. Like, I don't know. How do you feel? Did we need to go back off? Did I describe?
No, you
cryptocurrency. You okay.
No, absolutely.
I don't know. Like, I didn't even get into NFTs.
Yeah. Well, shit. We still got time.
Is this the end? What are we gonna tell the family and the kids? What happened to all the promises that were made between me and you? This is just like death. I remember the kid who protected his mother from his father's fist. What happened to him? Did he grow up just to be the same man he was fighting? 'Cause this is just like, this is just like death. Just like death. I've tried and tried to make it bright for you and me both day and night. Tried and tried to make it right. It never seems to be enough. Just need to let you go. 'Cause this is the end. This is the end. And it's just like death. It's just like death. It's just like death.
Your situation and my situation, we're both after the same thing, and that is to be the master of our own future.
Absolutely.
To have our own.
That's right.
That's where we're going. I'm proud of you for following your wife to go to Memphis.
Sometimes you got to.
I'm excited to see what you're going to do. I'm happy about what I'm trying to do. And I really want people to back it. Like,
yeah,
if you believe in what I'm doing, back it.
I got you, man.
I'm not talking about a book. Like, subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can rate and review the podcast. You can share it on your social media. You can tell your friends about what we're doing.
That thing.
And we can get these stories out. And like, man, like... Is it bad?
I don't think it's bad at all.
This is just like, this is Porch Talk, man.
Let us know what you think.
I want to know what you think. Write me.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Go to the website. Go to my social media.
You are full of shit. And I'd be like, you're full of Lance Arms.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Yeah. Lance Arms, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to give a rating to this episode because we got to walk out the door.
Got to.
Going
to
give it a solid, because I don't believe in the idea of perfection. But out of 5, I would say a 4.6. What say you?
I'm going to say a 4.7.
Wow.
Yeah, out of 5, Lance Arms.
Oh, he's feeling strong.
It is. It's a good one.
We're getting out of here. Guys, it's been fun. We're out.
Peace.
This is going to be featured soon, my darling.
It was in the 1800s.
Yes.
A Donner party.
My darling.
Maybe the winter won't catch up, and I'll be far ahead. The flu is strong.
It's Kennedy, Alabama. I may not make it through March. Oh, hi, March.
Never mind. The weeds are growing fast and sturdy.
And I think things will be okay. We just have to make it through Easter. Will there be a big frost?
The rain is plentiful. The creek is frozen well. The wagons are very, very dangerous. But
treacherous beings they are.
It's better than the very dangerous winter.
And the vile, vile schemes of Mother Nature.
All right, I have to bid you farewell now, for I had to play a game of checkers with Brother George.
Brother George can wait.
No, Brother George is very creative in his storytelling. He is a very wise man of 74 years young.
Will you tell Brother George that I think checkers is sucks, and you should play chess? That is a gentleman's game.
Brother George is a time traveler. He's very wise, and he suggested that I buy an iPhone X so I can subscribe to Porch Talk.
What is this, iPhone commercial?
UPhone X! So he can subscribe to Porch Talk.
And leave and rate the show and review it and tell their friends.
Hell, even give him a troll. He may be the pioneer of trolls.
You could be the Porch Talk's first troll. Goodbye.
Let's go! Your Steve walked wearily down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet and machine gun ready to go. Hey, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beam. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Another one gone, another one gone. Another one bites the dust. This has been another episode of Porch Talk. We'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.